Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. Again, each one a welcome tonight under service in the name of the Lord. And you know, I was prepared for what I was going to preach tonight. And then I'm still studying and reading about the angels of the Lord. And when I got in here this evening, that's what I had to go back to. So I'm not preaching on healing tonight, but I want to preach about the angels. And I had things prepared about it, but I was waiting and praying the day and just asking the Lord. And then I'm studying a lot on healing. I've been reading a lot on healing and different things about it. But I just can't get away from this. So I'm going to bring this tonight and just try and follow what I'm feeling and lay it, no matter what the notes was prepared. But also wants to pray for Andrew Beecham's mother-in-law, Mrs. Wilkerson. She's not too well. We can pray for her. And also Alan Connor's father's passed away. I don't know if Alan's dad was saved or not. I'm sure everybody knows Alan Connor, brother Alan. Alan's a real character. And I met Alan back in the early 90s. In England, and Alan and Joseph Orrick. There's an old brother called Don Bailey. He really ordained the two of them into the ministry all that time ago. And Joseph has quite a big church in Manchester, England. And Alan's dad's passed away. So we want to pray for them as well tonight. Praise God. And I know he told me that. Do you remember that sister's name, Brother John?
Was it Eileen?
Eileen, that's it, Eileen Wilkerson. And you know, the old man, when we went over to Australia, one of the first times I went over, he said, I was born in the fire, and I can't live in the ashes. Mammy, when the meetings are not going as good as you expect. You know, he said, back in his day there was fire, now we're working ashes. But, you know, we have to go over that. It didn't help the pastor any, but, you know, to hear that. He meant well, the brother meant well, you know. But he'd get up and pray and everything in the middle of the meeting. And, it's hard to take, maybe. But, the Lord knew his heart, didn't he? Praise God. And his great old man, Bob, he called him Brother Bob, and he had some powerful testimonies. And his wife's not feeling too well, praise God. And Andrew's come back from meetings. Said they had powerful meetings where he was. And let's bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. If you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just humbly, reverently bow before you tonight. In the name that's far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we appreciate where two or three is gathered together in your name. You have promised to be in the midst and not to bless us. And Lord, we know the angels of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear the Lord. And we know you have sent angels as ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. Father, I pray for the blessing of God in this service tonight. Lord, we would ask you for the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the quickening. I need your inspiration. I need your help, Lord. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now by faith in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, you do undertake for me. Bless those that's here this evening. Move on the backslidden, Lord. Restore them, renew them. Pray for Brother Mark and his family and Holiday. You'll bless them for Sister Eileen and the family. You'll bless them for Eileen. Lord, this dear woman, that Wilkerson, that you'll touch her, Lord. That you'll raise her up to health and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Bless Brother Andrew, his wife and family and all of them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray also for Brother Brian tonight, Brian Freeborn. You'll touch him. Lord, you'll heal Brother Brian and touch him in his body. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ tonight, we pray for Brother Alan Connor and all the family, Lord. The Connor family, you bless them, strengthen them, and just comfort them at this time of bereavement in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, bless your word to all of our hearts. And for the hands raised, we'll get over every heart, every need. Lord, we know that you do hear and answer prayer. And we pray you'll meet every need in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us turn tonight to Isaiah 6 and verses 1 to 6 and quite a few long readings maybe from Scripture just to bring across the point. But there's a certain part tonight which I want to try and bring out about the angels, and we'll just see how the Lord leads tonight. Verse 1 to 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord also sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And I want tonight, just again, to talk about guardian angels. Last week, I want to continue on, and we know by these readings here, there's different orders of angels, including seraphims, cherubims, angels, guardian angels. The seraphims are described here as having three pairs of wings. They're attendants of the Lord and have special duties in proclaiming the holiness of the Lord. So some people say angels don't have wings, but the Bible says here there is angels as well with wings. So there's angels with no wings, and then there is angels with wings. And they have more than one pair of wings, they have many wings. And there's many different angels and different types of angels and different duties of the angels. And the angels are working all the time for God. They're working all the time. And I tell you tonight, there's a number of angels which is innumerable. That's what the book of Hebrews says. There is an innumerable number of angels. You can't count them. There's not many of them. Then we know there was a fallen angels, and Satan was an angel. And he took a third part of the angels, and they're fallen angels. And the Bible speaks in Jude of angels reserved in chains of darkness, reserved over to the day, that great day of judgment. So there's angels that's already been fallen. And the Bible speaks about angel, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for he's come down having great wrath. And you see, the angels are very smart. And they're in a body which is superior to our body. And you say, Brother Tom, why do you make that out? Because the Bible says Jesus lowered himself a little lower than the angels. And he took upon him the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So they're in a body what is superior to our body. They can come from eternity into time faster than you can bat your eye. And there's nothing in this world or this earth can move like the angels of the Lord. You know, I seen a thing, I can't remember when it was, but it was these pilots. And these pilots on the planes they had, I don't know what speed they'd done, but they could break the sound bar or whatever that is. Mike too. But this light appeared, and this light could go beside the plane. Then it could just go back or forward faster than that plane. And when you think of the speed of that plane, and I believe it was the angels of the Lord. And you know that a prophet of God said, he said that the angels of the Lord will visit the earth, and people will call it flying saucers and all types of things. And in a message called the flashing red light of his coming, he talks about the angels of the Lord visiting the earth. And then the Bible, you know, and the prophet of God speaks about investigating angels. And they come down to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that there was angels that came to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were like men. And they appeared like men. And many times we can entertain an angel not even knowing, but it is an angel sent from the Lord. But here, that these angels had wings, many wings. And then there's a cherubim and the living creatures of two pairs of wings and of certain responsibilities guarding the throne of God. Ezekiel, let's read Ezekiel. It's quite a few verses, but let me read it for you tonight from Ezekiel 1, chapter 1, verse 4 to 24. And I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself, and brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was a color of amber, and out of the midst of it fire. Now you notice many times when you read this, and this is the key, and Brother John's testimony for me brought this out, and I've seen so much of it because I've thought of that in the Bible, which I didn't think of it before. But when you hear the word cloud, many times you'll read of the amber light and the angels of the Lord, and it's all united with a cloud. And even when you go to Job, it talks about a whirlwind coming down to Job, and the voice spoke out of the whirlwind, and that was God, and God healed him and touched him. And I tell you, these are supernatural things, and the Bible's full of it. Look at these colors, verse 5. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, that is their appearance, they had the likeness of a man. Verse 6, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of the feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. I might be saying that night. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on the four sides, and their four faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one till another. They turned not when they went, and they went one way straight forward. So they can go any road they went, one, and they're still going straight. When did it get this? This is important. They can go any single direction and still go straight. Now, we can't do that. That's like the wheel in the midst of the wheel that Ezekiel talks about as well. The wheel in the midst of the wheel, and it went straight, but it could have been going any road. That's the supernatural of God, you see. That's what God's able to do, praise God. That's where the faces and the wings were stretched upward toward wings, one joined till another of the two covered their bodies, and they went, everyone straight forward, whether the spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures and the appearance of like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of lamps, and it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightnings, and living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of a lightning. Now as I beheld the living creatures, and behold the wheel upon the earth by the living creature, and with his four faces, the appearance of wheels, and their work was like unto the color of beryl, and their four had one likeness in their appearance, and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went, and whithersoever the spirit was to go, the wheels were lifted up over against them, and for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And when those went, these went, and when those stood, these stood, and when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was of the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above, and under the firmament were the wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had wings which covered on the side, and every one had two which covered on the side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of the wings like the noise of great waters, and the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech as the noise of an host. They stood, they let down their wings. I tell you, isn't this something? They're like wheels on them. And when they went up, the wheels went up. And when they come down, the wheels come down. And I tell you, this is a supernatural happening of God here. And this prophet of God seeing this, praise God. Look at chapter 10, verse 1 to 22. And mommy, I won't read all of it, but look, let's read it. Who's enjoying hearing the word of God read? Verse 1. Then looked and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a seraphim stone, as appeared to the likeness of a throne, and it spoke unto the man clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. And now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house, and when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court, then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with a cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court of the voice of Almighty God when he speaketh. And it came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed in linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubim, then he went in and stood between the wheels, and one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims under the fire that was between the cherubims, and took it off and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out. And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under the wings. And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And as for their appearance, they were four, had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. And when they went up upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked. They followed it, and they turned not as they went. And their whole body and their whole backs, and their hands and their wings and their wheels were full of the eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. As the four wheels, it would cry unto them in my hearing, O wheel. And every one had four faces, and first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face the face of a man, and the third face the face of a lion, and the fourth face the face of an eagle. And the cherubims were lifted up. This is the living cherub that I saw by the river of Shebar. And when the cherubims went, and the wheels went by them, and when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, and the same wheels also turned not from beside them. And when they stood, these stood. And when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also, for the spirit of the living creatures was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the three threshold of the house, and stood over the cherubims, and the cherubims lifted up their wings, and they mounted up from the earth in my sight. And when they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and every one stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of the Lord of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Shebar. And I knew that there were cherubims, every one had four faces apiece, and every one four wings, and the likeness of the hands of a man was under his wings, and the likeness of their faces was the same faces which I saw by the river Cherub, or Shebar, sorry. Their appearance on themselves, they went every one straight forward. I tell you, that's some description. So when we talk about angels just as a man, we have to understand there's many different types of angels in this Bible. Just when people talk about speaking in tongues that don't know what they're talking about, there's different types of tongues. There's the tongue of man, and then the Bible says there's also the tongue of angels. Now when you think, when it says the tongue of angels, that's more than one tongue, because there's many tongues there as well. You see, God is far beyond what we can even comprehend tonight, and there is something around us we don't even see right now. And I tell you, the angel of the Lord's always with you, you know that. Revelations 4:68, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne was four beasts, full of eyes before and behind. God sees everywhere. Hallelujah. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had the face of a man, the fourth beast like a flying eagle, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. There is angels specially assigned just to call the Lord holy. That's why when the Spirit of the Lord sent this meeting the other week, he wants us to worship him. God's not joking about. The Spirit of God is speaking, and the Spirit of God is wanting us to worship him, and the Spirit of God has spoken even in the last church age. Now we'll get that maybe a little later in the service. Many angels, however, that they don't have wings, and they do have wings. I tell you, and any of these beasts, I haven't time tonight. We could go into these beasts and these faces, what they mean. There's a meaning for everything in this Bible. But that's a massive study. You're not doing it on a whim. I'm telling you, when you get into this, you can spend hours and hours and hours just waiting on God, and it just keeps opening up. People say, I've read the Bible and I know it all. That's impossible. It is an unfolding revelation of the mystery of Jesus Christ, and it keeps unfolding, and it's wonderful. It is evident that if they had, they would not be mistaken for human beings. And you know, sometimes angels come and they've no wings. And sometimes people don't know it. Somebody could come with a message, but you've actually had an angel visit you, and you might even know it. That's the truth. And it happens many times. You know, you remember the story, one of them church age messengers, and he had his coat on him, and he met this tramp, and the tramp was freezing cold. Martin Luther. And he took off his coat and he cut it with a sword, and he gave it to him. And later on, the Lord Jesus appeared to him with half of that coat on him. I tell you, the Bible says that if you give a drink of water in the name of the disciple, you'll nowise lose your reward. And then it says, and as much as you have did this unto the least of these my little ones, you've done it unto me. Just like a brother John said this morning, when you persecute a child of God, you're persecuting the Lord. But then equally, if you bless a child of God, that's a blessing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just like it says with Abraham, them that bless you, I'll bless. Them that curse you, I'll curse. And it still runs. God's word, you see, cannot fail. Angels are spoken of in the Bible as the masculine gender. Boys, you'd get in trouble talking like that today, wouldn't you? They talk about genders. Well, there's only two, male and female, period. And these angels are described as a masculine gender. Although we are specifically informed that they do not marry, and they're not given in marriage, they're not like a human being in that sense. Though they can look like a human being, they can come and go the way we can't come and go. We're going to have a body change to leave here. But they can come and they can go as God permits. Matthew 22:30 says this, for in the resurrection, neither married nor given in marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven. And I tell you, in the resurrection, we will know our loved ones. We will know them. The husband, the wife, and so forth. But it will not be the way we are here, because our bodies will be so transformed and so changed. That's why Corinthians says, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And you remember why the first sin came. So it won't be that way when we're changed. And you're going to have to read a bit between the lines. That's all I'm going to say. But you're old enough to know what I'm talking about. Angels are immortal and they don't even die. It's like a brother John said about the fella, told him the angel was hurt in an accident. Impossible. They're immortal. My angel could sit in the bonnet of a car and go off it just like that. The car doing 200 miles an hour, he can bonnet it and go in front of it, go behind it anywhere he wants. That's an angel of God. My, if they can fly with a plane doing 1,000 miles an hour, whatever speed that thing, the breaking the speed barrier, the sound barrier, and go from it and come back to it just like that. I tell you, supernatural beings we're working with. Luke 20 and verse 36, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. That's when you're changed. Now if you're equal unto the angels when you're changed, then the angels don't die. An angel is an immortal being that God has specially made. And remember, before he was God, when he made the first angel, he became God. Because God is an object of worship, and he made the angels specifically to worship him. We can't praise him and worship him enough. God wants our praise. He wants our worship. It's not just about all the music and the drums and everything batting and banging. That's not what music's all about. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's our lips of praise that the Lord's want. All the music, good. We need more of it. I'm all on for it. The harp, the cymbal, the tambourine. The Bible talks about it. And the stringed instruments, all the instruments, get the whole lot, surely. But when you don't have it all, you give the Lord from your lips praise. These angels are innumerable. I told you, Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto the Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels. You can't count it. You can't count it. Revelation 5:11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. You know, I heard people saying that many will be in heaven, and a whole big discussion of many will be in heaven and how big heaven is and all. That's this here working. You see, and you work with this here. You don't get saved with this. You get saved with this. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation. And the Bible says we must cast down reasoning. But here it says that there's a number of thousand times thousands, thousands, thousands. Then if you were to take the bride through each church age, I don't know how many, but it's bound to be an awful amount. Then when you read, and these are they that come out of great tribulation, no man can number them. We're serving a mighty God tonight. Mighty God. When you think of the souls that's been saved over the years, and we're only living in one generation, and how long is our generation? You think of all the generations, all the church. Right from the start, how many there is from the Old Testament right through to the Lord's coming? There's so many people what's going to be in heaven. I can understand it all. I can't explain it all. But I know that God will do it. This is a massive amount of angels. The activity of the angels is ceaseless, though we do not see them and usually do not suspect their presence. But many times God's angels have protected God's people from attacks of the enemy that we don't even know about. Philip's here this evening, he can tell you know, when we worked for a certain contractor, and I worked for him as well, and some of you other fellas might as well at some times, but there was a certain digger, and I know the actual digger. And you fellas work with diggers, you know how they have a safety pin, but it's operated with the oil system. It's not a physical pin, but it's a safety pin. Now that safety pin doesn't release itself unless you hit the button in the machine and you release it to let the bucket off. But this particular digger, when she sat overnight, released the safety pin. She had a habit of doing it. Now whoever was driving her knew that. They should have had the oar pin in. How many knows what I'm talking about? There's a physical pin you can put in. So even if that releases, a bucket still can't release. But that pin wasn't in, and she released the safety pin. And the fella swung round, and Philip was in a big hole where they're putting pipes in. And someone said to him, get out of the hole now. And he jumped out, and the bucket fell right into the hole. That machine weighed 25 ton. You brothers know better than me. I don't know what the bucket would have weighed, but it would have killed a human being, I'll tell you that much. And he got out of that hole, and there's a fella, a saved fella drives the lorry, and he came down and he says, the angels of the Lord encamp about round them that fear the Lord. He says, that's what came to me. That's the truth. Now the many incidents God has saved us and we didn't even know about it. I tell you, I disobeyed God. I done everything to go against God, everything I shouldn't have done. Drove a car, the angel will leave at 60 miles an hour. Well, I drove far more than 60, I can guarantee you that. Whatever that thing clocked, she was on it. And we crashed one night, and the clock was reading 100 on a back road, and the car flipped many times, and I was unconscious. And when I could run, I could hear the fellow with me calling me, "Tommy, Tommy." And I heard his voice, and all the doors was jammed closed. We couldn't get out. And I smashed the window and got out. And they said, the policeman said, they don't even know how you broke that window to get out because they're so hard to break. But I broke it and got out. And I'm telling you, this is the truth. I had a little scrape in my head and the blood was coming down my face. Now, my mother dreamt that night that I was dead. And my dad was backslid. And I had a yellow jumper on me, and she dreamed that I was dead wearing a yellow jumper. And she said, "Tommy's dead." And my dad backslid and said, "We can't accept that." And he prayed. And I got out of that car, and I can take you to the very place. I'll never forget it. And me and that boy had drink on us. Now, we weren't stocious drunk, but we had drink on us. And I come out on the road, and a bit of blood coming down my face. There he was, he was more drunker than me. He was driving and he couldn't drive anyhow. And that's the truth. Wrecked the car. Later on we found out a lamppost would ride in. She took the front wheel off. It took the suspension out of it. I'd no seatbelt on. If I had, I'd have been dead. It would right through the seat where I should have been sitting, but I wasn't there. But I tell you, when I come onto that road, there's a presence come over me. And an audible voice spoke to me. And that voice said, "If my hand wasn't upon you, you'd be dead." I'll never forget it. The angels of the Lord many times protect us. And we don't even know about it. I remember in Czechoslovakia trying to tell my testimony how the angel came to me in that jail cell. And I was trying my best to explain it with a language difference. And that presence and that one come right in the room. And everybody fell in that whole room crying and weeping. And the power of God filled that place. None of us could move for a long time in that room. When I tell you God's power can come in a meeting and a lot matter, it's not about the numbers to bring it. It's when God takes to doing it. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he'll come on the scene. You know, I'm going to tell you one thing. Sometimes God gets some people out of the road so he can move. Now, you might believe that, but that's the truth. Now, I'm not saying God's done that. We want more to come. I'm not saying that, but that can be the case. Angels are watching over us. Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest they dash the foot against the stone." Now we know this is the Lord, but it's also for us as well. Psalms 34, verse 68, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." I tell you, the angels of God are real. You know, when James McConnell gives his testimony, and I've heard so many people talk about it, when he talked about the angel, and people saying, "Well, I wouldn't believe it, and he's making out this and he's making out that." Well, I'll tell you one thing, my opinion on it, whatever he was told, it happened. It happened. It took place. So I believe it. I believe it. Hallelujah. Now, I want to tell you about these angels. Ordinary angels, when they appear as men, and they at once deliver their message, and many times they depart. They're only here for a short time. Angels, you know, they'll worship God. An angel will never receive the glory to himself. An angel will never permit you to worship him, but an angel will only permit that God receives the worship and God receives the glory. An angel will not receive the glory, but he'll want to give the glory to the Lord. People are not, you know, you'd be awed at the presence of an angel, the appearance of an angel. And, you know, you'd be tempted to worship them. And some people would be tempted to pray to them, but we're not told to pray to them, and we're not told to worship them, but we're told only to pray to Jesus Christ and worship him. But they're still God's workers. the God's messengers. Revelation 22, verse 8 to 9. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them, heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Verse 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Praise God. For I am of thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book and worship God. And you know that Revelation speaks of seven angel messengers, seven stars in the hands of Jesus, and the seven stars speak of seven angels and seven church ages, and there's been an angel messenger to every single church age. But when you read what John read, you're not permitted to worship any single one of them angels or angel messengers. You must worship the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. So when people say you're not speaking enough about the angel or the angel messenger, they've misinterpreted somewhere. Because it is Jesus Christ that we're to worship and serve and give all our glory to Him and Him only, not to the angel. But we appreciate the angel. We respect what God sends in the angel, Revelation 10:7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God shall be finished. And that means declared, revealed, made known. And we're living in the last days, and God has sent the seventh angel messenger. We believe that. Till the last church age, the Laodicean age. But we're not to worship that angel messenger. We're to worship Jesus Christ. And that messenger, if he stood in this pulpit tonight, here's what he would say. I point you to Jesus Christ. That's the one to worship, and that's the one to serve. Amen. Jesus Christ is the one. Even the seven angel messengers were told in Revelations. We know there's one angel messenger, and I've told you to each church age. Revelations 1:20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, the angels. There are the seven church ages and the seven candles which I saw for seven churches. And I've quoted you Revelation 10:7. But there's something I want to tell you as I come to close tonight. These angels are superior to me and you in their being, the way God's made them. But there is a song we can sing that they can never sing. For we can sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And holy angels will have to hush and listen, for they cannot join in. And you know, when the seven seals were opened, the Bible says there was silence in heaven because the book of redemption was being made known. There was silence. God wanted an absolute silence to the glory of the Lamb of God. And even them angels had to hush. And we can sing a song they can't sing. And even though the angels are superior in talents, however, they do not possess omniscience. Even though they're superior to me and you, they don't have omniscience. But only the Lord has omniscience. That means He's all-knowing. He knows the end from the beginning from the end. Only God knows that. How do you know that, Brother Tom? Because the Bible says, no man knoweth the day or the hour when the Lord will come, not even the angels of God. Jesus Christ is coming, and not even His angels know. No one knoweth the day nor the hour wherein the Lord will come. When you hear a preacher saying, God's revealed to me when He's coming, you know that's not true. Let me read you two scriptures and we'll close. Mark 13:32. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. God has a time when He's coming and nobody knows about it. And when people go into that seventh seal message that was preached, and they tell you that they know when the Lord's coming, and they know this and they know that, they're saying they know more than the angels of God. But my Bible says the angels don't even know about it. And not one of us will know about it. But the one thing we know is what Jesus preached Himself. He said, you'll know when you see the fig tree blooming. That's Israel becoming a nation. Know ye not, even at the door. That when they become a nation, the coming of the Lord is near. It's at hand. You could say we're in the season. The coming of the Lord is near tonight. 1 Peter 1 verse 12, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. God can reveal you things through the Holy Spirit that angels don't even know about. But how many believes that's the Bible? That's the God we are serving tonight. Now, why are you saying that? Because I'm telling you that God can speak something to you and the devil won't know about it. Did you hear what I said? The devil won't know about it till you say it. And God can tell you something, show you something, and the enemy can't know about it because he is an angel. And that's the Bible. Mark it down here. Unto you which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels started to look into. Now we know it's talking about salvation. We know that. But that's what God's able to do. This plan of redemption, God's plan, had it nothing to do with angels. This was God's plan. God's plan. And I'm coming to close the night. Aren't you glad tonight that there's somebody looking out for you? The Lord is. But he's angels. Every single person's been assigned an angel. Special angel. And there's legions of angels. My youth fellows, some of you know more about it than me, but you know the Battle of Le Mans. The angels came. And isn't it just like in the Bible when the young man said to the prophet, "It's just the two of us," and he said, "Lord, open his eyes," and he saw a multitude. There's more with us than be with them. Multitude. There's a multitude tonight listening in. A multitude that you can't see, that God could permit you to see it. It's like that light. That light could be in this room now. Somebody could see it. Somebody else might never see it. That's up to God. But nevertheless, it's real. Hallelujah. I tell you, we can sing a song that holy angels can't sing. That's a wonderful old hymn, you know. Let's stand our feet tonight. We come to close. Let's bow our heads and our eyes closed. I didn't plan to preach this, but look, I believe someone's for somebody in this meeting, because I'd all prepared to preach someone else, but I just trust the Lord will give you someone. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you tonight for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I pray that you'll help every one of us give you your place. You are the head of the church. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Magnify your lovely name. Lord, we've seen tonight for those angels that continually minister before you. Holy, holy is the Lord. Lord, one day we're going to bow down and worship you. We're going to see you face to face. We're going to sit around that table and break again with you that bread and wine in the Father's house. But Lord, I pray while we're here that you'll help us. Lord, that you'll minister unto us. Father, that you'll touch men and women in this room tonight that need a miracle touch. Lord, that you'll touch the physical, the finances, the mind, the thinking. Lord, we need you while we're here in these bodies. That's why we need the manifestation of the nine gifts of the Holy Ghost and the fruits of the Spirit. We need everything you've given at our disposal. For we know you're coming again. Bless everyone in this house. Bless the children. And Lord, for those sons, daughters, husband, wives that's wayward, Lord, we claim every one of them tonight by the blood of Jesus Christ over them. We say you'll send ministering spirits unto them. Because the word of God says, sent to minister unto the heirs of salvation. Oh God, minister to them. Speak to them. Move upon them. Minister to men and women in this room. Minister to men and women this week. May the Holy Spirit fill us, oh God. May you fill us to such a place that we'll continue to walk with you, Lord. Rid us of our own thinking. have our own ways, have our own ideas, and fill us with the Holy Ghost and power. In the name of Jesus Christ. Those that's praying in secret, meet their every need. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Renew the strength, the vigor. Lord, in Jesus' precious name, help us to reach this generation. Lord, we're willing, but we need your help. How can we go except to be sent? And Lord, you're the one that does the sending. Lord, we're willing tonight. We're doing our part, but you're going to have to do your part. And we know you will do it, Lord. But we're asking you to do it. We're asking you to move. For we know you'll cut it short in righteousness. Lord, it's almost nighttime. And when night cometh, no man can work. But we want to work while it's day, Lord. And we pray for your help tonight. We ask you for the believers that's cold and informal. Lord, it is indifferent. May the Holy Ghost move in them. Stir them and speak to them. In the name of Jesus Christ, revive every single one of us tonight. Renew us, Lord. Refresh us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Bless your people, Lord, as I ask your blessing on everyone under this roof and under this voice. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, dear brother. Come. God bless each one.
Yeah, praise God. Well, I'll sing a hymn, because God won't keep us too long. Can we sing that hymn? I'm thinking of the rapture on a blessed home on high when the redeemed are gathering.